Despair that Joseph must have felt in that moment, right? There's a lot of speculation in regard to how marriages were put together in that time, right? Of how, in terms of maybe this was an arranged marriage, right? And all these kinds of things. However that might be, and again, we can kind of talk through and sort of argue through some of those details and stuff, but however that might be, both Joseph and Mary had an idea of what life was going to look like, and this was not it. This was not part of the plan. The idea that Mary would become pregnant through the Holy Spirit, right, was not what Joseph was trying to hear at that time. I can't imagine how it must have crushed him. And in fact, it's a point where I love how in verse 18 there it says that he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. So he had in mind to divorce her quietly. See, this is what's so interesting about despair is that sometimes we find ourselves receiving this gift of despair from the world, and once we get it, our minds begin racing, don't they? Our minds, all of a sudden, we'll have 1,000 questions, but our minds will already begin filling in the answers with our imagination. None of it is real. We don't know if any of it's actually going to come to pass or not, but because we've received this gift of despair, we get some things in our minds, whether they are from God or not, because we're so stressed out by it, we're so alarmed by it, we're so taken back that the stress of the despair itself causes our minds just to run wild. And this is where Joseph was. In his mind, he could not imagine a situation in which he would actually stay with Mary. Now, he cared for her. He didn't want to embarrass her any more than she already would have been. So he was just going to do it quietly, but in his mind, he had already made up what he was going to do. I think this is so important for us to consider here, because many times when things don't go the way we anticipate that they do, that they should, our minds just jump ahead so many steps to what we decide we're already going to do, whether we actually ask the Lord what it is we need to do or not. Have you been there? Have you been in a place where maybe something in life has not really gone the way you expected it to? Maybe there was a setback at work. Maybe there's a difficulty in a relationship. Whatever it might be, this despair can be given to us in so many different ways. But so many times we get that, and then we decide how we anticipate that is going to go. We decide what we're going to do, because in the midst of our despair, we don't even think about going to God with that. I remember when I was pastoring, I'll just say when I was pastoring elsewhere, when I was not pastoring here, let me just say it that way. Before I was pastoring here, I remember there was a time where you might imagine that as I was a younger pastor there, I tend to move around a lot, right? Not just as I'm preaching, but just here and there, and just things to do, trying to get things done and that kind of stuff. I remember there was one particular Sunday where I was doing just that. There was a young lady in our youth who was taking care of our projection, which was not anything like this system here. But I was trying to help her get, this is like 5 minutes before service was supposed to start. I'm trying to help her get things put together. I'm trying to connect with the sound guy to let him know like what she's going to be doing and everything. I realize there's somebody else I got to talk to who's waiting for me just outside the sanctuary that this conversation needs to happen before I go in. Pray with some of the leaders from the worship team before we actually get up on the platform and have to make it look like we're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? And in the midst of my running around, there was a couple that was there that did not worship regularly in that place. And as I was going by, I made eye contact with them, but I didn't say hello. Apparently, that was a big deal, which I was totally oblivious, right? Like, I things that I'm doing, so I'm going and doing these things. Well, the couple was genuinely hurt by this, and so they actually stopped worshiping on Sunday morning because of this. So I was very, very confused as to what to do, and so I actually wrote a letter to send to them to just pour my heart out and say, you know, I'm sorry for what I did. If there's an opportunity we have that we could get together and talk, I would love to do that. I mailed it to them. It was not but a week later that I had another member of the church who was still there for some reason, and she was a friend of this couple, and she asked to meet with me. And sure, yeah, no problem. And so we get together and we meet. And as soon as we sit down, she pulls out the letter. Isn't it beautiful? Like all that we do and everything like this. Isn't it amazing how we interact with people, right? And she told me as I'm sitting there at my desk, she's at the other side there. She's got this letter in her hand. And she's just rolling her eyes at the whole thing, disappointed in me as much as you could be disappointed in another person. And I remember her saying to me, "You might be a good preacher, but you're never going to be a good pastor." Isn't that crazy? These are, like, this is real people now, like, right? Right? So here's what I want you to hear in this, though, right? Because you can imagine that, like, for any young man who's just trying to follow the Lord, right? Like, that can stick with you, right? And all of a sudden, like, the enemy can come in and take that despair that I'm sitting in the midst of, right? And can already begin to make up my mind about who I'm going to be and who I'm not going to be and how I'm going to be that, right? Like despair can come in and the devil can use that and say, "Oh, yeah, let me fill in some blanks for you before you ever even get there. Church, I want you to know, I know I'm not the only one who's ever felt like this." Maybe even through a report from the doctor. Maybe it's through a conversation with your spouse. Maybe it's through an issue with your children. Maybe it's just that you were trying to reconcile your bank account. Like there's so many ways that the devil just kind of comes in to the midst of that despair and says, "You know what? Let me fill in some blanks for you before they ever even happen. Before we ever actually go to God and say, 'Lord, who do you say that I am? How do you say this is going to go? Where do you want me to go next?'" Like so many times the devil comes in and says, "I'm going to use this despair to just defeat you before you ever even go another step." And church, I just want you to know this is not the life that God created us to live. I know the despair that you feel is real. I'm not belittling that at all. I want to be very, very clear. I'm not minimizing the issues that you struggle with or that you're struggling with even right now. I just simply want to say that your despair is not the last word. Not at all. Let me keep reading here in Matthew, verses 20 and 21. It says that after Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Isn't it interesting how many times when God speaks into the lives of people, it's as if he is totally oblivious to the situation that they're in the middle of. Right? Like, here, Joseph is obviously like trying to work through what is happening here right now, right? And instead of God just kind of coming in and saying, "Oh, you know," sort of patting him on the back, like, "Oh, don't worry about it, like everything's gonna be okay," right? So instead he comes in and he says, "Stop being afraid. Like I've got a job for you. I've got more than that," because his job was to name him, right? Not only was he to name him, but he was to name him Jesus, which means he saved, which is ironic, right? Because here just a moment ago, this child was the child that sort of represented everything that was being destroyed in Joseph's life. Now, this very child of whom he knows he didn't father, now he has to name this child he saved. You see how God is already rewriting the script that despair tried to write, right? And so, God, through this dream, tells Joseph that what despair has told you is the end of the story is not actually true. So, here's what we have, and I want to try to illustrate this for you. We're going to do this actually each week, and I want you to try to get and understand how this all works together here. So, even as Jesus was born, he was born into a world that provides despair and abundance, right? And we all live in that world now. And this world is giving us all the despair that we can handle. He gave that same despair to Joseph as well. Yet, through the cross, Jesus has given us hope. Through the cross, Jesus has given us hope. God spoke hope into Joseph's life to say, hey, the end of the story that you thought was the end of the story, it's actually not the end of the story. There's actually another way this is going to go. And so, Joseph, what I need you to recognize here is that the end that you thought was the end is actually not the end at all. In fact, what I need you to do, Joseph, is I just need you to trust me with, I need you to trust and hope and put your hope in me. Put your trust in me and recognize that this Jesus that you thought was wrecking your life is actually coming to this world to save your life. Like, he's not coming to destroy you. He's not coming because he's mad at you. He's not coming to wreck your marriage. No, Jesus is actually coming to be the hope of the whole world. And not only is he going to do this for everybody else, Joseph, but he's going to do it for you too. See, this is the good news that God is giving us this Christmas season. That while the world may be giving us all this despair, and it comes in so many different ways, right? It's not hard. It's not hard to find despair, whether it be through the news or social media or sometimes just talking to your neighbors, right? Depression is so widespread because of just the enemy's attack on our lives, like the negativity and the way that the devil is trying to literally destroy each and every one of us. I want you to know, I recognize that despair comes in so many different ways, but Jesus came that we might have hope. That we wouldn't have to let despair fill in the blank for us. That we don't have to let despair ruin the rest of our lives. No. Instead, we can actually trust Jesus and we can ask God, like, God, who do you say that I am? I'm tired of letting the devil tell me who I am. I'm going to look to my Creator and I'm going to ask God, who do you say that I am? How do you say my story will end? Where do I need to go yet? We need to stop looking at the despair that the world has handed to us, expecting it to give us answers about our lives. And we need to start looking to God, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. That means he's the beginning and the end of our faith. He is the one who takes us through. He is the one who actually tells us who we are and how we ought to live. But in order to do this, in order to live in the hope of Jesus Christ, we actually have to put our faith in him. Yes. See, here's what's crazy. Here's what's really, really crazy. That when we live by the despair that this world is giving us, when we live in the despair that our history has given us, when we live in the despair that those messages that have been over-communicated in our minds, what we're actually doing is whether we're intentional about it or not, we are actually putting our faith in despair. Think about that for a second. I crazy is that, right? We're actually putting our faith in the negative messages of our lives that tell us that it's all going to end horribly. We're putting our faith in these messages that say that we're not good enough. We're putting our faith in these messages that say it's never going to end in a positive way. But what if we might actually change the orientation of our faith? What if instead of letting despair tell us who we are and where we're going, what if we actually let Jesus do that? See, the only way we can do that is by putting our hope in Him.
Amen.
In order to do that, we've got to make a decision. We've got to decide, are we going to let the world tell us who we are, or are we going to let the Lord tell us who we are? The best way that we can align ourselves with who God has created us to be is to become followers of Jesus Christ. And it simply starts with accepting and acknowledging the fact that, you know what? We are sinners in need of a Savior. Like we've been given this gift not only of despair, but of sin in our lives. And unfortunately, the only thing that gift gives us is death. But Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay the price for all of our sin, and not just for our sin, but He died on the cross so that we might be raised to new life, so that we could live an abundant life now. We don't just believe in Jesus so that we can have fire insurance, right? So that we can get out of hell free or anything like that. No. We believe in Jesus because He does something inside of us, and He gives us His Holy Spirit that we might live for Him and with Him and through Him. Like He becomes our life. Like, wouldn't it be awesome if we actually let God lead us in our lives and not every single negative message that the world would have to share with us? We have to acknowledge the fact that we're sinners in need of a Savior. We need Jesus. And then we simply believe in Him. We put our faith in Him and we say, you know what, Lord? I don't know what it's going to look like. I haven't filled in all the blanks yet. I don't know what hope is going to lead me to. But Lord, I'm going to leave those blanks open for You to fill in. I believe, Jesus, that You are the one who came to forgive me of my sins. You are my Savior, and I want to live for You. And then finally, you just simply confess that He is Your Lord and Savior. Like, that is according to the Word of God. Like, that is how we align ourselves with Jesus. We express our need, we believe in Jesus, and we confess to others around us that, you know what, we are Jesus followers now. We are trusting Him to fill in the blanks of our future. We are not letting this world communicate that to us anymore. We are going to have God do that for us. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And here in just a moment, we're going to sing a couple of songs. And as we do, I want to invite you to express your faith to Jesus, to express your faith to God, to make an exchange, if you will, to allow the gift of good news to overcome the gift of despair that you've been given of See, this is not a matter of taking 12 steps to figure out, oh, I'll start here and I'll go there, I'll go there. This is a matter of taking a step of faith. And see, you know what? I know that I've lined myself up with the messages of despair before, but now I'm choosing to turn my back to those messages of despair and turn my face to Jesus and everything that He has done for me and everything that He is doing inside of me. I turn myself to Him. This morning, if you would like to pray that Jesus Christ would be your Savior, if you'd like to put your faith in Him, you can do that even now. You can do that at your seat. Maybe you might come to an altar prayer that you can physically humble yourself before God. I would love to pray with you to lead you in this relationship with Jesus Christ. That we can help despair to get out of here, and that we can actually help you to live in the hope of God. God's holy word.
Yes, yes.
Stand with me, please, this word.
speaking together, I want to invite you to, whatever it is that the Lord is putting in your heart, say yes to Him. Let Him work in you.
Yes.
Trade out despair for hope. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. He will make that way.